28 minutes to 8. Welcome back to Sabah Muslim and Radio Islam International. We are discussing verse 54 of Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Surely your sustainer is Allah, who created the heavens and earth in 6 days. He then established himself on the throne. Now, yesterday I was explaining that there were no days and nights before the creation of the heavens and earth. There was no sun. There was no sun rotating. So it could either mean the equivalent of 6 days and that we understand, or it could mean 6 days of the year after, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says one day in the year after, كَأَلْفِ سَنَةِ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ, is like 1,000 years which you count. So 6,000 years is what could be meant. Or it could be 6 days in terms of time frames were applicable in the greater existence of that particular time. Whatever it is, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pointing towards doing things gradually, and I explained the benefits of that yesterday. Now, today we move on to the second part of this first sentence in verse 54. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He then established himself on the throne. He then established himself on the throne. Now, explaining these things is somewhat difficult, complex, technical. It has to do with aqeedah. And let me try and simplify it for you as best as I can. Firstly, a few introductory points here. When we talk about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala rising to the throne, or when we talk about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala establishing himself on the throne, the ulama of tafsir have written that the pious predecessors and the sahaba have mentioned that the human mind is incapable of perceiving exactly what is meant by this and other similar verses. Why? Because when it comes to the being of Allah, there is one critical phase of the Quran that we would constantly refer to and becomes the basis of all of these discussions. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that can be compared to Allah. So when I say that that person established himself on his seat, or he rose and sat on his seat, automatically you can picture something in your mind because you understand the mechanics and the workings of a human. You know what a human looks like. You know how a human conducts himself from a physical perspective. But with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we don't know what Allah looks like. We don't know. It's beyond our comprehension. We will be able to see Allah in the hereafter, but here in this world, it's beyond our comprehension. And what we do know for certain is that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah is not similar to anything else or anyone else. Nothing can be compared to Allah in any way whatsoever. That's the key thing. That's why when we talk, when we try and explain the meaning of Allah's words here, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala rose to the throne or established himself on the throne, it becomes a bit difficult to understand it fully and to comprehend it totally. Therefore, we should not look too much for a logical, rational explanation, because this is beyond our intelligence to comprehend how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does this. One day somebody asked Imam Malik rahimahullah, the great jurist and the great scholar, about the meaning of this verse. He broke out into a sweat, and then he said, after a period of silence, Al-ma'na ma'loom. The meaning of the word is known. Meaning the linguistic meaning of these words are known. Well, kayfu majhul, but the interpretation is beyond our understanding. Well, imanu bihi wajib, but it's imperative that you believe in it. It's imperative that you believe that Allah rose to the throne and established himself on the throne. Why? Because Allah himself mentions it in the Quran. Was-su'alu anhu bid'ah. And to go into detailed questions about how did Allah do it and what were the details around it, that is an innovation. Why? Because Sahaba themselves are not going to those details. Human capacity is limited. And scholars write that thereafter Imam Malik rahimahullah said to the questioner, it seems to me that you are a deviant person, and he thereafter asked him to leave the gathering. And he termed the questioning of this particular questioner as an innovation, because such verses were also in front of the Sahaba. But they did not go and delve into the details of it and ask questions with regards to the details. They believed in it because it was revealed from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala without insisting on a detailed explanation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many scholars have termed this verse and other similar verses as mutashabihat. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the mutashabihat in Surah Al-Imran, and Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٍ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ. That only those in whose heart there is a deviation and crookedness, they seek to delve into the mysteries of the mutashabihat verses. And this is something which is discouraged in our deen. However, whilst we cannot go into the details of it, whilst we cannot fully understand it or comprehend it or even give any conclusive or any certain kind of explanation to it, to understand this whole issue better, the scholars have penned certain things to make us understand it from a perspective of aqeedah. And I want to read out to you, word for word, what Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah has written in this regard. I think it's a very good explanation and it would put things into perspective. He says, one point that ought to be borne in mind all the time is that the attributes and actions of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran and Hadith, and the words that are used to refer to His attributes and actions, are in most cases used to describe the attributes and actions of man as well. Example, the words living, listening, looking, speaking have been used to refer to Allah and are also used for men. It should be understood that the usage of such words is completely different in these two contexts. So when we say, for example, Allah is As-Sami' Al-Alim, is the all-listening, the all-knowing. Now, when you talk about Allah listening and when you talk about any of the creation listening, the word is the same. But the context is totally different. The context is totally different. And that's why he says it should be understood that the usage of such words is completely different in these two contexts. If we describe someone as being able to hear and look, then it means that he possesses ears to hear with and eyes to see with. In such a context, two things are meant. Number one, he has eyes, which are the source and means of looking. And number two, the result and purpose of looking, that is the specific knowledge that he attains by looking with the eyes. So when you say a man can see, you are saying two things. Number one, you are saying he has the eye, and the eye is the source and the means through which he looks. And number two, you say that he has the result and purpose of looking, meaning that he can look and he can absorb and he has specific knowledge that that is as a result of his ability to look. Now, when man is described as being able to look, it means that he has the means and the purpose of looking. We have learned the forms of both. However, when we apply the same word to Allah, then it certainly cannot refer to the physical means that are peculiar to man and from which Allah is certainly pure. Nevertheless, we will have to hold the belief that he possesses the power of looking and that the knowledge that one acquires by looking, he has that to the point of perfection. As for the nature of the source of looking and what form it takes, we cannot say anything except that his looking is not like that of man. Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. There is nothing similar to him, and he alone is the hearer and beholder. In other words, we can say that man looks, and we can say Allah is all looking, he is a sami'. We're just using looking as an example, then hearing is also another example. But the looking of man and the looking of Allah can never be the same. It can never be similar in any way. When you look at the source of man's looking, it's his eyes. But we cannot say that Allah has eyes, because then you are drawing a similarity between Allah and man. When man looks, he's able to then come to the result of looking. In other words, he's able to look at something and determine what it is. So when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah is also able to determine as a result of looking. But what is the nature of Allah's looking? What is the source of Allah's ability to look? That is known to Allah Himself. That is known to Allah alone. Therefore, He possesses the power of looking, and that the knowledge that one acquires by looking. Allah possesses that power, Allah possesses that knowledge, but the source of that power and the nature of that knowledge is not in any way similar to man. It's not in any way similar to man, because laysa kamithlihi shay. Man's looking has its limitations, its imperfections. Allah has no limitations, no imperfections. And because of this golden principle, laysa kamithlihi shay, nothing can be similar to Allah, you cannot in any way draw a similarity between the way man or any creation of Allah looks and Allah looks. So when it's meant that Allah, when the Quran says Allah looks, we will believe in this much, that yes, Allah has the power to see, and Allah has the power to have the knowledge that goes with, which is the result of seeing. But how Allah sees, that is known only to Allah. كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِشَعْنِهِ, as the scholars say, as is appropriate to the grandeur of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now we've given the example only of looking. And Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah says, all the attributes of Allah have to be understood in this way. The attributes with respect to its original source and purpose is established, but its nature cannot be described. We know Allah has the ability to look, but how does Allah look, and what's the source of Allah's looking, that is known only to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the Sharia has not put any responsibility upon us to go into those details. Now, if you've understood this from the perspective of the example of looking, as-sami', then the perspective of this verse, istawa ala al-arsh, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala establishing himself on the throne, it should be understood according to the same principle. The word arsh means throne, it means an elevated place, and the word istawa, according to the majority of scholars, means to establish. So, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala established himself on the throne. How he did so? He knows best. What's the net result of him doing so? It means that after he created the heavens and the earth, he is now in total control over the heavens and the earth. That's as basic an explanation as I can give under these circumstances. There are a few more things, one or two more things that we will add on to that tomorrow, inshallah, and then take the discussion further, moving into the other sentences of this particular verse. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.